Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Can the chair assume that you've had sight of the draft amendments from Messrs. De Lange and Smuts, and that you've had sufficient opportunity to consult one another on it, and are you ready to address me on it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at the document. It says option today, 1715 and 2012.
Regarding.
My last in the teacher's face is
today. Oh, okay.
See, the first issue there is that there's one specific. I do not know if members want to.
Being established by Parliament and making with the CA in terms
at the time was anticipated that we might establish an intermediary court of appeal between the SA and the ordinary high court.
Why did we think all of that?
Very nicely defined. there's an area of jurisdiction that is exclusively within the domain of the competition appeal court, but there's another area of jurisdiction that specifically overlaps with other courts, and you do not want to write the constitution in such a manner that no appeal can be made from the LIC, from the constitution appeal court to the DCA, only those in respect of which it has exclusive jurisdiction. Then the only reservation I have on this clause, it reads very nicely and I think it's very short, straight and simple. I am just not too comfortable by respecting my labor or competition matters. I'm not sure that is clear enough to the person reading the constitution, and certainly we wouldn't want to end up with World Cup disputes being taken to the constitutional court because it's a constitution matter. That's why you see it's a bit more elaborate. The second option, any matter arising from the High Court of South Africa or a court of a state similar to the High Court of South Africa, except when an Act of Parliament has established a court to decide appeals in labour or competition matters. The problem here is that what I've just referred to, there is a dual jurisdiction, you don't want an absolute prohibition. Option 3, more or less the same, and change the wording, the court of a state is similar to the High Court of South Africa, except when an Act of Parliament has established a court that is not lower status than the High Court of South Africa, to specifically decide appeals in labour or competition matters. You must elaborate on that. Option 4, and I may just say that this is my personal preference, Chair, and very, very, very much
of it.
It's my personal is between 1 and 4, depending on the committee. 4 is that any matter arising from the High Court or a court of similar status to the High Court, except where an Act of Parliament 1 has established such a court specifically to decide appeals arising from the application of labour or competition laws, and 2, to such extent as may be determined by such an Act of Parliament.
The second point is four, to the concern. Okay, maybe such extent, well then only about to one, is that right? Okay, the end. So it can't be good. Okay, all right. My only concern is if we're saying has established a court to decide appeals in labour or competition matters, would that be interpreted to mean as a primary part of amendment? That interpretation is good?
I had a long thought about the chair. At the end, I personally was satisfied that the wording was used. You can establish through that Act of Parliament at any time, but it must have been established eventually, and then it would have been established. Incidentally, we've got the two courts at the moment. But you can establish another one, but can only do with label competition law. What is it like?
At the time of the NSAC judgment, this started all the trouble. At that time, the Competition Appeal, the Competition Law Act, Competition Act, already said on matters of jurisdiction you appeal to the DCA, on constitutional matters you go to the Constitutional Court. I assume it already said that. Why then did NSAC's lawyer catch them all up by going to court? And remember Judge Davis said that the story was that the people who drafted the Competition Act simply forgot, I quote, simply forgot Section 168 of the Constitution, which makes the FEA illegal. Why then does NSAC, American National Solar Ash, go to the FEA and argue that the FEA couldn't be excluded and manage to bring its case after a decade before confessing it was guilty? Why did that happen if at all already? Is it something beyond the jurisdiction in NSAC?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have the provision in front of me, but the Competition Act, I think it's Section 62 that's applicable. It's got a one-step subsection 1 and a subsection 2. Subsection 1 deals with, I think it uses the word to the effect that the Competition Appeal Court has exclusive final jurisdiction in respect of matters, and it's basically matters emanating from the tribunal. Subsection 2 then sets out that the following matters that do not have exclusive jurisdiction. That's the way the Act was framed. Constitutional guidelines. Yes, SCA then said that you cannot in that Act of Parliament limit our jurisdiction, which is quite correct.
So we already said that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the problem with options 2 and 3 is once you've got a Labour Appeal Court and a Competition Appeal Court, then they deal with all competition or labor appeal matters. And that is not the existing scenario as Mr. Delana has explained. And so I think that 2 and 3 then are not what we want to keep the existing system, as far as I understand, quite carefully worked out in terms of the Competition Act. So then it's really between 1 or 4, and really the note from Health and Social that I got was something to the effect, let me see if I can get out, but it basically was why it was, this is now referred to as the labour competition matters. This would mean in the event of a dispute, the CC would, as it does with any other issue, decide ultimately on any definition. So in other words, although labour Delana's concern, although labour and competition are not defined, ultimately they will define it, would be the argument. However, putting in the such extent may be determined by Act of Parliament, they actually, I think, solve that problem because the Act of Parliament will do the defining. But I think they're both, to my mind, they're both the same in terms they're both the same largely as the question of the style. Mr. Delai likes he likes things set out clearly. So remember with the torture bill when we had the whole issue of do we just want to take the treaty or do we set out, and we agreed with him to set it all out. So I think that's largely different. But except it's two factors, except in the effect of his wording under one has established the court specifically to deal with appeals arising from the application of labour competition laws. And then the second one is actually the same to such extent as may be determined by an Act of Parliament. So the difference then, apart from the one and the setting up in sub 2, is the chief of proposal was labour competition matters, and the result proposal is has established the court
should actually include these specialized courts like the labor court and other courts that exist. wouldn't we actually use the same argument for the single court on 156, that the Act of Parliament is defined?
This one.
This is a good point, that last point. Since it's from us, but I think there's some way to deal with our concerns about the gradual erosion of the alleged power jurisdiction. Whether we, or even this is obviously quite a consider, so I'd like to reserve our position on that to consider that. But I think either one or four, I think one is easier reading. Although we don't necessarily support that, but just to sit with the drafting and the wording of that. Let's take it from there.
I think I follow the Honourable Voice in that. You know, the response of Advocate Kengo to the Peter's proposal was, yes, it's fine if you want to immunise labour and competition against FCA jurisdiction. But is that wise? He himself, I think, doesn't like it. But as Paul, does it work for the purpose of immunising from the jurisdiction of the FCA, to put it at its bluntest, then yes, Helton's proposal works. And perhaps what softens it, which is, I think, if I understood Steve correctly, this in fact softens that a little bit, because it doesn't completely immunize. It says that wherever an Act of Parliament provides for matters to go to the FCA, it is not the intention entirely to immunize. Not that. Yeah.
But maybe Mr. Zonda would prefer to respond. Okay, all right. Can I, now you've agreed, have you? That'll be one. Okay, can I throw, yes, company board. No, you've said, section 167 of the Constitution, hereby amended by the Constitution, etc., etc., sub 3. The Constitutional Court is the highest court of the Republic and may decide constitutional matters. Wait. Any other matter the Constitutional Court grants leave to appeal on the ground, the matter raises, blah, 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 blah. Okay? So, in terms of your decision now, CAC matters and LAC matters go directly to the Common Court. Can the Common Court blow it out and say go back to the ACA? No, why not? Okay. I just needed clarity on that. Okay? Yeah, only you wouldn't raise that.
If that, then the Constitutional Court could say that this falls in that part of the jurisdiction of Competitions Act, the full falls within there. So there is a slight possibility. I doubt if people go that route, they're going to fix it.
Listen, nobody tells the Constitutional Court once they've said, this is it, that's it. So if they make, and either rightly or wrongly, they make a decision like that, or a judgment like that, who's going to rise and say you were wrong?
A lot of people these days would shake up. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you.
Well, the whole point was that we also didn't want to be a gap between matters that were specified and matters that weren't, because otherwise the effect would be that it then announced to matters of which were constitutional or otherwise general concerning whatever interest. Yeah, so I think there's cover that gap.
Right. All right. Can we move on to 167,
Mr. Delaney? Thank you, Chair. 167. It says alternative option, that's an option we can discuss now, and then I'd also ask the money to distribute membership have a loose
space. We have it.
Which is, no, this is truly a case of the longer the dismiss.
I acknowledge,
it's
really nice
too,
but I don't yet know whether I want it.
Yeah. But not in an adversarial context,
I'm saying. No, that's the longer, but which...
Oh. That's the
is that the line right, and that's smart.
All right, and he's going to argue...
That's the line and that's smart. So don't get all worked up here.
No, but this sheet was written for me because of the flow rate. It really was written for me. And if there's a dispute between the two gentlemen... No, they're not the ventilator thing, so I really would like to hear both.
We had a shift, and we wanted just after we had time to, with a bit of effort, to find that they try to simplify. The only relevant part is really at Roman numeral 2. That is the new part. The original version says in Matron appeal it is the specialized nature of the court. Well, that's one of the things I objected to. I don't understand what a court query is. Being a court of a similar state to the High Court of South Africa and Act of Parliament, first, excludes the religion of the SCA. B, provides the decision, judgment, order of the court in question is final, or C, does not expressly provide for an appeal to the Supreme Court of Appeal, then the CC would have jurisdiction. If we turn to the loose page, again, that Roman numeral 2 would say an appeal on any matter that may not be decided by the SCA. As contemplated in section 168.3a, I thought it might be have that cross-reference, because it's then very clear what you've got in mind there. If the Constitutional Court grants leave to appeal, and then I've added a test, what I thought that you must put in some kind of text, and this is just a suggestion at this stage, on the grounds that it is compelling for the development and application of the labour or the competition law, that the matter is decided by the Constitutional Court, and three, basically the same. That's the same law. Much watch it.
My brother and sister put me coming in with that. But now, even on the other one, the longer one, which I thank him very much for doing, because my concern, Chair, was that, look, we now cleanly and finally written the jurisdiction of the Constitutional Court as being a constitutional matter. B. Any other matter, if the court grants leave to appeal on the grounds that it raises an arguable point of law of general public importance. It's nice, it's simple, it's clean. It's not the way I wanted it, but it's a compromise and the arguable... Now, don't look surprised. I wanted a bifurcation, remember? But the arguable matter of public importance is exactly what I wanted. Now, it seems that it's now really worried. My own request was, what happens cases which do not fall under either one of these jurisdictional specifications. What if a labour or competition thing goes to the Garter Court and it is neither a constitutional issue nor is it a matter of public importance? Mr. Schaefer and I have been worried about this. And it's in response to that concern that this has been written. I don't understand why it is put in the middle, by the way. Why can't it be number three? But now, I think it's actually quite nice, but I'm not convinced in my own mind, having raised it in the first place, that we should disturb the jurisdiction. If whoever writes or amends, and they should amend the relevant statute, the Act of Competition Act, should set up, they should do the job. They should quite clearly make it clear that some matters go to the SCA, and those that are constitutional or that sort of testament, or matters of public importance go to the Concord. They should really do that now that we've accepted John Jeffrey's sentence alongside Helton's. And I would kind of prefer not to disturb the jurisdiction by bringing in, because this is something of a very different order to constitutional matters or point of law of public importance. This, you know, this suddenly leads to two different kinds of law. And it plugs exactly the gap that Debbie and I were both so worried about last night. But now that we've added that to about the Act of Parliament, can we not do without it? Hey, well, that's question A. Question B. Rick Schmidt is surely right when he says that if you exclude the SCA jurisdiction except for what stands in their settings, and if a case doesn't meet the constitutional jurisdiction, the case is quite simply that the CAC has been final. Yes, that is so. And I think that too is actually roughly what we were looking for. So I would say my very grateful thanks to both us and the Langer for drafting what were our concerns. But I think that we must take the position that we don't take either.
I can just add that I've discussed it extensively with Mr. Smith, and we feel that we don't really need drama in the book. And just on that last issue, I cannot imagine if a matter is deserving the attention of the Constitutional Court, we can see, makes the final decision whether a matter is within a jurisdiction. Nobody is going to tell them that the matter is not going to be in there. If it's serious, I cannot imagine that they would not take the case.
Without mentioning names, but Sir David told me he had encountered a senior counsel who shall remain nameless, but can't think about money, the mayor, the governor, the bank, they're not related, even though they're not, you know,
That was brilliantly done. Brilliantly done.
I mean, he felt that three was adequate for them to consider anything they wanted. So this concern of the injustice being done by the Competition Appeal Court or the Labour Appeal Court, if it really was an injustice and it didn't necessarily quite meet all the tests, the Constitutional Court provided us to consider it anyway. And the idea is not that that there's an automatic right of appeal from the CAP or the LAC to the Constitutional Court. It would only be the exceptional. So we've got to give them a basis to refuse.
If the court wants to hear it, we will hear it. They will give leave on that case and say, look, this is an argument point of general public interest, and here, and you need to decide that. I'm just, why is the and there? Shouldn't there be an and there? After between A, B, and C.
No, the and is going to the only one, two, and three.
I understand. Constitutional Court makes the final decision. Now I understand this.
All right, you're really, really concerned.
So what is your decision on
that? Our decision
Roman numeral 2 is out.
And then there we did, I think the goal was there. I mean, point you raised earlier, but I think C is the C lawyer's clause. You know, it's unnecessary because they will make the final, they are final court, and nobody's going to say no other court, I mean commentators can do whatever, but no other court is going to empowered to say that they're wrong. But I think it's useful, it wasn't a conference, well, it was in there for something else, but it's stating the obvious, but I think it's for the lawyers of judgment.
I'm starting to follow the argument about the ceilings too, maybe. Yes, I know C, but my understanding is that it's been ordinary sailors who allowed to often amuse to me, and they're very clever.
On a mild, I mean, apparently there was some televised version of, I presume there was abuse in the House on our interaction with learned judges.
Yes.
And I thought we gave as good as we got. I thought they had a tough time.
They did?
But yet, some of our members feel that
they gave us
too tough a time.
They were rude, and they were overbearing, and I had to say, no, stop, hold it. I said, please understand, the members of the Justice Portfolio gave as good as they got, and even better.
I don't think Judge Nugent has come across that before.
No, he hasn't.
No. No,
they saw one part of it. See, and then what they saw they didn't like. And what? Yeah, we have to be very careful. I didn't realize. But the camera was there, so
So we should have expected that. All right. Okay. What's left? You must just inform me if you would refer me to address you as my lord, too.
Oh, no.
Now, our understanding is that that is what we're outstanding as far as the Constitution Civil Information is concerned.
Well, coming back to the issue of addressing as my lord, yesterday's business, they had an excellent article on the dress code. Please read it. He goes back in history about the gowns and those horrible things they wear on the wigs, and how the gown for a senior counsel had to be done in a particular way. And I said, oh, my word. You know, I mean, Britain really goes overboard.
Oh. They're all really good at it.
Good at it?
No.
They don't think it'll go through, but there's some judges that are 10 years out there.
Oh, no.
But it's written by the legal fraternity as a draft legislation.
Well, the legislature.
For the judges. The judges to compel them to write their judgment.
All right, now, honourable members, are we ready to... Where? Suffix. Where?
Thank you.
Constitution comes up. Okay?
Let's see, the whole of C would then fall away in the poll. The poll would not have a barrier.
So the whole C comes out. Okay. Very well. What's left?
I really don't care about this thing, but just in terms of what people seem to be saying.
Yeah.
C is amendment, which is to delete the word. No, it's not. Okay, the word C comes up. Sorry, okay.
A already provides that you can bring a matter directly to the Constitutional Court. Yes. Okay.
I don't think we need to just go through
We're dealing with cab 17th as on 14 November. Redwood. Redwood. 15th and further option. Alright.
Further option will be taken.
Sorry. Cab 17th as on November, right at the top. You got that? Then it's the one with the lovely blue or turquoise. That's option 3, Constitution 17th and 15th November under that. And then the loose seats. Those three.
Yeah, but I think the loose seats we rejected, so we're actually only with 2.
Have we rejected the loose seats? Just because there are only 2 in the loose seats.
Yeah, 1 and 3, I think, the total renumbering.
Yes. Okay. First one is this. Cab 17th as on 14 November. You got that? You got all 3 now, Mr. Adams? Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Going back from the beginning. 167B2. Doesn't matter which version you look at. Are we going for general public importance, or are we going for containing public importance, or are we going for a system of other sort of thing of terrible? No, you can't have pop terrible. I presume that's the only thing we haven't clarified.
All right.
Okay, on this wider jurisdiction, which is agreed on everything else, but it's a question of, we have a law of general public importance or contained public importance. And so it was that we had finalized that.
All right, I'm waiting for you to. It's comparable, isn't it? The narrower.
I can just very briefly say that the advantage of sticking to general public importance is that we've borrowed it from the English. That is the test. So there's already jurisprudence there and example.
That's another reason why we get to general.
That one.
No, that's one.
Right.
But in terms of, and just see this, in terms of where the suggestion from of compelling came from, and who is trying to move and come from, that's why I'm not on the record.
Yes, Ms. Shaver?
If it's general public importance, then it is probably something that the constitutional court should actually look at. You know, if it's, yeah, it's across the board applicable, then it's fair. So let's go there.
We agree?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Mr. DeLonga? All right, fine. So, where do we go from here? Clause by clause on the number? All right.
Okay, Mr. Reed, I just very briefly then explain also in this document. Because it's an amending clause, it becomes very confusing if I use underlining and square brackets to indicate changes. That's why we, if you look at the long title, for example, you see that the word deleted, that was an out of the long title. That's how it would be amended, and yet regulate the composition of functions of the Management Commission. So it's really just such changes that are due to, and it's unfortunately not complicated in this case.
Okay. All right. Clause 1.
Okay, long title.
All right, long title, agreed. Okay. Clause 1. Agreed. Clause 2.
This is one where we've got to go to
yes.
The option, and we're agreeing to the option called C.
Right.
And the version of C, which is the same one, but it's
And the version of E, okay. All right, so that okay.
So maybe we go to the sitting over the room. So tune first under on the portion.
Yes.
We adopt the version on the option on the 15th of November.
Agreed.
Yeah. And then 2E, we accept what's on this version.
On the 14th. Yeah. Okay, good. See, 15 November. And E is okay. Yeah. Right. Clause 3. Now go to the loose leaf.
No,
you must have
checked.
No, why? Why? Because
we can work on this
document that we have picked up. No, that's why the loose leaf is a lot easier. Okay. All right? And we've already agreed that Roman 2 comes out there. And the rest of it is fine.
Okay, just as many say what we're agreeing to is loose leaf without Roman 2.
Yes. Okay. Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Great. Well, Nani, I hope you're looking all this, eh? Okay.
What did you say that it's a loose leaf?
Yeah.
Is that loose leaf? Yeah. Is that
loose leaf? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That section, that's clause 3. And then clause 4. Which is...
Hang on.
Right.
Make the final decision is also on the system.
Yes.
And then, what about now sub D on thread
A? Yeah, sub D we're going to.
So participants make the final decision.
Okay. I thought that was...
And then C we are rejecting.
C is rejected, yes.
So just for everybody that's on page 3, the B against the margin, we agree to it that it's there, and then the B against the margin.
We've done the clause 3, Honourable Minister.
Yeah.
Right, clause 4?
Clause 4 should go to the 15th of November.
Yes.
And you go for...
option 1?
Option 1. Where is it option 1? As
yeah.
That is written there.
Okay.
What? Which November?
We're in clause 4.
Oh, the green one.
Okay, Ms. Mutt?
Yes, it helps us.
Alright, sorry. And clause 5.
Clause 5 we agree to this. And this is on the
This is on the 14th.
On the 14th,
yes. Nothing there. So it's okay? Alright. Are we okay on the board?
Good. Okay. Agreed. Clause 7. All right, honourable members?
Yeah.
Good. And clause 8. So clause 8 is okay. Clause 9. Clause 9, honourable members. Good. Okay. Right.
Is there any time limit on it? I mean, can I ask the last 5 years?
Yeah. All right. That's it. Superior Court. That's entirely your decision. Unless you wanted to rule. Can't rule.
Okay. Yeah, just look, I don't think we're going to finish Superior Court.
Right.
We had to pass constitutional amendment because it's going to the House on Tuesday.
Right.
Superior Court is going on Thursday.
Is it going on Thursday?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, so we can do it
tomorrow.
When we would be fresher.
Morning.
We obviously have to make it a quorum. But we will be able to, presumably, there will be other members of Parliament voting around. But I don't know, we had said, Chair, remember, that we would keep it.
Did we move it to Monday?
No.
No, Monday is Monday's interview.
Yeah.
Yes?
We had said that our speaker is telling us that Friday is a working day. We really are busy the morning, but we can go on if we need to.
And the other one, don't the criminal procedure? The criminal procedure, I think criminal procedure is, I think, 2013. Chairperson, if we proceed tomorrow morning, there is this quarterly consult, the forum meeting that I'm setting, which is normally until 12 o'clock, or if we are unlucky, 11 o'clock. So, then it just means if we are proceeding tomorrow that I would not be able to attend the meeting. But at the same time, I thought that the interviews on Monday, all of them will be finished within an hour, and then we could have proceeded with it. Maybe 2 hours if we are, you know, asking a lot of questions. But I mean, the point that I'm making is I thought that those interviews might not necessarily take long, and then we could have proceeded with the superior report on Monday. But if it's delaying the whole committee thing.
No. You know, it's really in your hands. I've never liked chairpersons who rule. I've seen the problems it creates. So, if you've been listening to Ms. Adams, you heard her. On Monday?
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Okay.
She has off tomorrow as well.
No, I have to attend the Auditor General. We need to take decisions.
So you won't be here tomorrow?
Yeah, I won't be.
So you're off?
Yes.
Mr. Halami says also off. And Mr. Sibanioni won't be here either. Well, I think that even with the president. Now, all right. No, but you see, that's why I asked you whether you were listening to Ms. Adams, Mr. Jeffrey, and Ms. Smuts. If you just grant me your attention, what Ms. Adams has proposed is, yes, on Monday we have the interviews. She doesn't believe the interviews will take all day. Once we've concluded the interviews, we do Superior Court. That's the proposal she's making. Mr. Jeffrey?
One, we've got a doctor report on the... the perceived expectation was that we were going to do both Superior Court and the Constitution 17th Amendment today.
Right.
So she's done a report of the 17th for both of them.
We have both?
A doctor report.
Okay. No, you haven't read it.
Oh, it's the 17th. Okay,
yes.
We've got to adopt the report of the 17th Amendment. Sorry. The Chair, can I also then just ask, before we just briefly on Superior Court.
Right.
The documents I've got, and I'm not too happy with them because I know it's what Parliament wants, but really it is unreadable. And that is, we got a draft for the 8th of November for Superior Court, which is the ninth from our underlining thingy.
Right.
Okay. Then we've got a unreadable draft, which is the one Parliament wants, called Portfolio Committee and Amendments to Superior Court. And you've got to open that and look at, really the way we do it, they have to prepare it, sure, and I apologize. But you have to do it. But what we would like is the latest version, the 8th of November. We didn't make any other changes.
That's what we need to work from today.
So we'll be working on the 8th of November. Yeah, 8th of November. I don't know if it's worth, Chair. I'm very tired.
Yes.
But and we've got to adopt the report of the committee. But is it possible just not have any debate, not to, but because we're only going to have half a day, just to quickly run through the 8th of November and just check if there's anything.
Now or Monday?
Yeah, that's
now, just to see if, you know, I just don't want a situation where we get to Monday and then we find there's a train smash and it requires all work and so we're not finalizing now. It won't take long.
Why is mine not different? Huh? You got the wrong draft, that's why. Actually, I must say that this document of the 8th November, there are very few changes. I can pretty highlight that and they spot. And there's one or two issues outstanding that the committee must just make.
So we're looking at the document 8th November.
Okay. And again, because we've now done various things to indicate changes to the document, what I did this time round is where there's a comment in the margin
just
on the right hand side.
Just give me one second. Honourable members, before we move on to the SPIE report, we've approved Constitution 17th Amendment. Isn't it appropriate then, having done so, to do the report? Responsible for justice. In paragraph 4. They are just spelling errors and the word for in paragraph 415, second line, the minister responsible for justice. Suggestion is moving for the adoption. Seconder. Seconded by Salamita. All in favor? And issues connected. That's what I'm saying.
Constitutional matters and issues connected with decisions
of constitutional matters. So that comes out, does it?
Does that come out?
The bill, it would read, the bill recognizes the Constitutional Court's jurisdiction to hear not only constitutional matters, but also matters that raise arguable points of law that are of general public importance.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Don't you want to say that raised?
Hmm?
The matter of arguable points of law.
That R comes out.
Arguable points of law of general public importance.
Yes, so the word that R will come out. All right.
With the amendment, the report is amended.
Are we happy?
Yes. Chairperson, I'm happy with this report, but as much as this report covers the main issues, isn't another main issue that section about the appointment of an acting judge specifically now? I mean, that is also something deep, if I can put it like that. All the other things are, to some extent, technical. But I just thought that maybe that could have also been included.
Appointment of the acting deputy, specifically
now from the
in the judgment of the Constitutional Court.
Oh, basically covers the main issues within the bill.
No.
Okay.
So the intention of the report, I mean, often we do, you know, there's still a memorandum to the bill, which summarizes the bill, everything in it. The intention of the report is the issues that the committee thinks are important to mention. So it's things like we want the legislation on the Office of the Chief Justice. We want to, you know, those are the extra things. Otherwise, it's.
That's why I'm always mocked with anything, because I think that they're all worried about their one day benefit.
It look at the second paragraph.
Second one, right?
The Protocol Committee, having considered the subject of the Constitution, says to it, report the bill as follows. And then it says the committee wishes to go further. They not connect there. To report the bill as follows. And then say the committee wishes to report further. So then we delete that part, the committee wishes to report further.
Is it not report proposed?
Yeah, what amendments for that? So the words as follows come out with amendments, and then the committee wishes to report as further, that's staying.
Yeah.
Okay. We agree to this report? Right. Done. Okay. Superior Courts. Mr. Langer.
What I've done, because there are so few changes, Jeff, and still members will be able to identify the changes, if you look at the right-hand margin on some pages, there would be a comment. For example, on page 2 in the preamble, where I just said that the whereas in the preamble, to change all of those on 8th of November, if you go through the preamble, you'll see that it occurs a number of times, and we've used the word noting on page 3. Okay, I'll change there, Chief. In clause 1, the definitions clause, a very small thing, we've changed 1997, that's the result of the previous committee meeting. Then we can skip all the way to page 10. Now page 10, there were no changes to, but
there's still this issue outstanding in clause 12.
Mm-hmm.
I understood from the committee that it will probably be omitted, but I don't think that a decision has been taken at the time, so there is one issue that needs to be resolved.
I was surprised to see in the draft of 12 November that I'm in a proper amending draft that you included on page 8 upper line 31 and any decision contemplated 165 in the Constitution. An Act of Parliament, Provincial Act, conduct of the President is unconstitutional or confirming an order of the must have a majority of two judges. We did not.
Yes, that's what I should refer to, Chair. We must be looking at the draft of the 8th of November.
Right.
Now, the A list, I don't think it's annoying for the members to look at A list.
No, I know that it is
in there. It is in there and it is flagged as something that the decision has to be finalized on, Chair. As I said, I undertook the committee to mean it could probably be dropped, but the decision has not been made. Take it out. See you then on the next page. The whole issue of the majority of two judges that makes it.
So the B comes up there, right?
Twin brother was responsible for the next page on 11 when we've changed back all the Latin terms.
Okay. Okay. Good on the whole members?
Yeah.
Yeah.
if we can go to page 25, clause 45, that is the clause that the committee decided on. Not this clause, on the next page in fact. But we rejected the poll and decided that we go for the short version. Issue 29, or 54, page 29, clause 54, committee may recall that, I think the Jadish Kasana, that issue that we want the word consider. The minister must consider and address request. Apparently that would make a world of difference. Then, there's something that's not in the poll. Mr. Smuts and myself, no, it's not a specific, it's something that will be added to you. When Mr. Smuts and myself went through the schedule on page 50, with a fine tooth comb,
yes,
members will recall the issue of the recall of the homeland, the legislative transcript, etc. We did come to the conclusion that it would not be appropriate to repeal those laws in total. The main reason being that although we both hold the opinion that some of the provisions there have been superseded completely by the Constitution, but the fact is that some of those provisions relate to traditional leadership, traditional courts, etc. Even if it's been superseded by the Constitution and strictly legally speaking not valid anymore, I would have a problem by just repealing it. I think it might influence the tagging of the bill, it might need to go through the other House of Petition Leaders, etc. And I really think we should not even go there, Chair. And maybe partly as a result of that, we've all got a status and petition part that you don't want in here. In the ALA though, in one of the item 5 on Schedule 1,
mm-hmm.
I'd just like to delete sections 8, 2, 3, 422.1b, and we keep 59 up to and including 267 and delete all the rest.
The 53.2 also comes out.
Yes, yes. So in other words, what we're deleting here is a chapter in that constitution establishing the Buddha monarchs for people. And we're not going beyond that. The other things are consequential, but it's not necessary to even go into.
Okay.
Sorry? 59 to 67 is being repealed, and in item 6, the very next item,
yes,
and section 72, not necessarily to be section 72.
Okay.
And that is it, Chair, no other
amendments. Wait, Mr. Olamita first, and then Mr. Gipsy.
Then you said clause 57.
50.
It refers to for instance, the head town, Port Elizabeth, Bloemfontein, and so on.
Yes.
It's not the case that some of the places have now new names. And even that a matter that should be considered, and I feel like it. For instance, the Graham town I understand is Makana, and Port Elizabeth is
I know you have
Nelson Mandela.
I don't remember the contents of our discussion. Jeffrey, you
Albert? Chair, I mean, it was an issue to remember that was raised in our caucus, and it also was particular regard to page 6, which is the thief. But the issue, as I understand it, is that municipalities adopt their name. They decide what their name is. So the municipality sort of somewhere between Nelson Mandela Metro and Buffalo City Metro decided it would call itself Makana. Okay. But the actual place name, the town, those amendments are made in a different mechanism. Which is
Minister of Arts and Culture.
Involving Minister of Arts and Culture. So the town is called Grahamstown. The municipality is Makana, but the town is still called Grahamstown. Until such time as
the legal process followed in the act of the act is set out. So if you look at, for example, on page 6, the Prabhupada division with its main seat at Pulukwane, that is because the name of, what was it, Petersburg, was changed, okay, from Petersburg to Pulukwane. Whereas if you take C, Gauteng division with its main seat in Pretoria, the metro is Tshwane. There is a dispute, legal dispute, regarding the change of the name from Pretoria to Tshwane. Once that change has taken place, then we can affect that change here. So I think that's the issue. And as far as I understand, all the Nelspruit is still Nelspruit, not in Mbombela. And then on the page that was, I think one just needs to check. But so that spelling for changes the spelling of Mafeking to Mafeking is something that has been gazetted and done by the Minister of Arts and Culture. And Bloemfontein, not Mangaung, because the city is called Bloemfontein. It's not a metro. Anyway, the municipality is Mangaung. But we go for the
legally recognized place.
The legally recognized name, yeah. Not the municipal name.
In terms of the law, Ms. Parliament, until those municipalities go to Paul Mashatila as Minister of Arts and Culture, and in terms of the relevant legislation, and formally request the name to be checked, that's what we have done. I understand that, but as a lawyer, you'll appreciate the
thing for the name.
The difficulty here in our own caucus was asking questions, so his concern is right, and maybe when it comes to the report or the features,
we should spell that out.
We should spell that out. I mean, the one other aspect which makes it clear is if you look at 50A, the Eastern Cape High Court issue becomes local seat of the Eastern Cape decision. If one would follow that argument, there's no issue. It is Buffalo City Metro.
Mm.
And the problem with Buffalo City Metro is it's probably London So I think it's just a matter of looking at ways of how we explain it.
I think we can do that in the report as well as in the debate in the House. I had forgotten about this explanation earlier today when I was challenged.
See, there's also one other factor to bear in mind is that relatively recently the committee or column passed the renaming of the High Court Act. So those Western courts have names, and that's in 50. We must reflect those names because those are the courts which are new.
All right, but honourable members, now, how do you want to proceed?
Chair, I would suggest that, following Lavelle's point,
mm-hmm.
We could say, okay, we adopt it now, but
right.
This is a longer bill, and we're tired.
Right.
I would suggest that that Mr. Delana produces the version of the night, 16th November, possibly, it's better if you can do it by tomorrow, it's not much. And then deputy public sector interview, we look at passing it, and we should only take it like half an hour, 50 minutes, because we've done all the work.
By the way,
the only problem with before is certain of our esteemed members have the habit of coming late.
It's a Monday, Ms. Adams. It's a Monday.
it's even a thing of we could look at, I don't know what the program is like, but when you get to lunch,
a working lunch,
because this is like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You've just got to then look at the report as well, which is going to adopt a report.
Remember, you've got nominees coming, so you're going to take them as well. Yes.
I just want to educate the listeners on
I just want to begin with it.
So can I allow Mr. Smuts to respond?
Chief, listen, as I have it, and I'm referring to Section 36 of the PFMA and Section 49 of the PFMA, which says that every department, the first 36, every department and every constitutional institution must have an accounting officer. But then in the chapter dealing with public entities, it says every public entity must have an authority which must be accountable for the purposes of this act. As I have it, they should, that the PFMA only makes provision of one accounting either officer or authority, because only one person can be financially accountable. And the term accounting authority relates to public entities and not to, not to departments.
I'm sure about that. I'm 100% sure about it. I'm just saying, if you can go and maybe do some research and check the current study and in the next meeting, have a good answer. I was just collecting the points on that.
This is the result of Sheila's input. Many experts, but I think consult the experts who would be what the Treasury on this, because your lawyers are this for the financial stuff, and it's an issue of consistency. And this is precisely, I think, the reason why we needed to do this now, so that we can pick up these things like that. So that you can come with things, but it's just a question of I'm a lawyer too. I don't understand the issues, and it's not going to help for me to come with a copy of the PFMA and try and figure it out. It would be better if it's the Treasury legal people that you just check with it.
Bearing in mind, Mr. Smuts, that the public entities are listed in the schedule of the PFMA, The Office of the Chief Justice then is not here. Not one of them. Well, questions should it be? So, but I think Mr. Jeffrey's point is relevant. If you could just please consult with the Treasury.
And whatever
necessary
I had a discussion with the MP from Square, the Chief Director or head of their legal position, and she confirmed contradicting what the mission was up towards, but that either the department or public may only have one accounting body, and in case of public entities, no accounts of the board of a public entity. The reason being that one identifiable person should be held accountable. I will look at it again and I'll have it back. And I think what we want is this clause 54 to be sent to them, and for them to then come back and say, yes, this is fine, or we think you should do this, and you can then draft an amendment and show us what they think, that kind of thing. So we don't really entirely just want the theoretical discussion.
Yeah.
We want them to see the text.
I don't think that they actually want to leave in writing, because leaving is something that we should have done.
Fair enough. Not for tomorrow. Didn't you say Monday?
Yes.
Monday.
And that's why he's going to have to do it tomorrow.
Well, whenever he does it, as long as we have it by Monday.
Yes.
If he wants to do it Saturday and Sunday, that's fine too.
Well, he might want to do it, but then the Thursday might not be.
You're assuming it.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
okay.
You know,
that's because
some food is waiting in our office on Sunday morning.
Yes, yes. So, then, what are we doing tomorrow?
Nothing.
You're so kind, you know. I changed my flat. No, I don't. But Paul insisted we meet tomorrow, and I changed my flight. All right.
I must say, I can't call the
All right, no problem. Thank you, honourable members. Thank you, Mr. Dilanga, Mr. Smith. You've been an enormous help.
Thanks so very much for your time.